Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is Davvav. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Yomid. And the Gemara begins, Tanya Abba Minyamin Oimer. What is this all about? You'll remember that when we were learning about the Inyan of Leining Kriyashma Alamita, and Reb David correctly pointed out yesterday that one of the main purposes of Kriyashma Alamita is against Chas V'Shalom Mazikin for Shmira. We also brought the Rashi and Toisis on the first Daf on Daf Beis, as you'll recall, that there's perhaps a second purpose in Kriyashma Alamita if you've davened early. And now, when you go and lay in Kriyashma Alamita, you have in mind to mekayim the mitzvah of Bishachbacha, the mitzvah of Kriyashma that you're supposed to line every single night. The Toisa said, but then you have to say all three parashias and not just one parasha. Good. So since we spoke about the inyan of the Mazikin, Hagemara tells us a little bit more about them. Mazikin are evil demons. Another word for them, Rashi always brings, is the Shindalids. The reason why I say Shindalid instead of saying the full name is because my father, Zichrono Livracha, always used to say it that way. He said in the Haim, they didn't say read it like people do today. And I guess they felt that just even mentioning the name, Chas V'Shalom, that itself could be a source of potential hezek. It's true that most people today think, I'm not familiar with Mazikin, what is all of this about? And you see from Chazal that the major concern was out in the wilderness, out in the fields, not in urban settings, because Mazikin were afraid to start up with people if there were two or more people together. In other words, although they are evil and they are demonic, however, they're also cowardly. So if they happen to see two or more people, then they stay away. They only like to go and attack a single individual, and particularly when that single individual is stepping on their property, on their premises, getting in their way. So if you go, for instance, into one of their ruins, like we had in the Gemara the other day, into a chorva, which they feel is their living space, their squatters living in those chorvas, if you go in, then chalila they may try to eject you in rough ways. So you got to stay away from Mazikin, and that is the inyan of the Mazikin. Estanya ab minyamin oimer il moli nitna rishus li'ayin lirois. If a person were able to go and see with spiritual eyes, if Hashem would go and open up our eyes and we would be able to see, inko beri yechol lamoid v'nei mazikin, we wouldn't be able to even continue to live, meaning that we would collapse just in fear of looking at all of these mazikin. How many mazikin are there? Says Imar Amr Abaya, inhu nefishim minon, they are greater in number than we, the kaimi alon, and they stand around us, kikisla leugya. What exactly means a kisla leugya? So Rashi says that when you are planting vines for a vineyard, they used to go and plant them onto an ugya. What exactly is an ugya? So Rashi says an ugya is like a short mound where you would go and plant the vines so that the grapes would grow. And around them you would go and make an irrigation ditch so that you'd fill that irrigation ditch with water, and that would go and nourish the vines from which would grow the clusters of grapes in the vineyard. So the kisla ugya means like that irrigation ditch that is surrounding the mound on which you are growing grapes. What it means to say is that all of us have mazikin all around us. Each one of us, alpha mismole v'rivavosa miyamina. If we'd be able to see them, we would see that there are 1,000 from our left and 10,000 from our right. And you'll notice that there's an aleph in our Gemara, and the aleph in our Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yoishu B'Seser Elyon that we say on Shabbos, and Matzah Shabbos. It says in the pasuk, Yipol mitzidcha elef urvava miminecha. Yipol mitzidcha elef, from one side 1,000 will fall, urvava minecha, and 10,000 from the other side, from the right side. So that's a raya to the Gemara saying, alpha mismali urvava miminecha. The Gemara refers to Yoshe B'Seser Elyon in a number of places as the Shir Shel Pigoyim or the Shir Shel Nigoyim, which means it's a special tefillah that we say to Kodesh Baruch Hu to protect us from those Mazikin. And the word Pega or Nega gives you that sound that this is a song, a Kapitul Tilim that you're supposed to use against those bad guys, against the Nigoyim and against the Pigoyim. Good. Anyway, continue Gemara. Omer Rava. So Rava gives us some kind of dramatic and graphic examples of how these mazikim affect us. Hayduchka dehavi bekala. If you go to the Shabbos Kala, now Shabbos Kala is not what we talk about today, that a girl's getting married, it's the same Shabbos as the Ofrufen. But Shabbos Kala means the Shabbos that people used to get together throughout the year, in particular the two Shabbosim before Rosh Hashanah and before Pesach. Those are similar to our Shabbos Agadol and to our Shabbos Shuva. And the purpose of those getting together was so that the Rabbonim, the Darshanim, the Tanoim, the Amiroim, the great Talmid Chachamim would be able to go and give more or less the antecedents to our Shabbos Agadol Drasha and Shabbos Shuva Drasha, teaching the people what the halachas are, to be available to answer questions in halacha, and also to go and give them. I'm going to tell you. Don't be annoyed. I'm sorry.
Why is it called Shabbos Kala?
It's called Yarchi Kala. I'm not exactly sure what the derivative where the word Kala comes from, but Yarchi Kala meant those are the 2 months of El Tishrei on one side and then Nisan on the other side. I say El Tishrei because the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that Shloshim Yoim, 30 days before, they already started She'alim the Darshan. Darshan, they were going Darshan the Psukim. So the Yarchi Kala, which means those months of Kala where everybody got together to go and hear the Divrei Torah, was starting from after Purim until Pesach, and then presumably from the beginning of El until the beginning of Tishrei, or maybe half of El, because they ended halfway into Tishrei before Sukkot. Anyway, regardless, people used to get together. Now, that's generally what it means when the Gemara refers to Kala. Here, Rashi seems to be talking about even on a regular Shabbos, when people are getting together to go and hear the Rav Darshan. And Rashi says, at some times, there isn't such a huge crowd that has assembled to hear the Drasha. Nevertheless, everybody feels tremendous pressure, as if it's crowded, and as if everybody's pushing to get a seat, or to sit down, or to stand. And it feels like there's a lot of pressure, even though you look around, it's not such a big crowd. So the word duchka over here means the pressure that you feel, even though you don't see so many people. The reason is because there are invisible mazikim between you and your friends on the bench where you're sitting, and they're the ones that are squeezing you, even though you don't. Why do I feel under this tight pressure? So if you look at the Rashi is about 8 lines from the top. Hay duchka, the pressure to have bekala that you had on those Shabbosim. There are times they sit down on the bench and they feel berevach. In other words, if there's a lot of room, they feel comfortable. Even though they are sitting revachim, a bench that can hold 5 people, only 3 or 4 are sitting there, and so there should be plenty of room, and yet everybody feels the pressure. You know, what's going on over here? I don't know why. Says Robert, it's from Mina, you have it from those mazikim. Moreover, hani birki dishiloi. Birki dishiloi means those knees which are weary, presumably again sitting on those benches listening to those drushes. No reason why my knees should be weary. I'm sitting down. The reason is minayu. It's again from those mazikim. Hanimani de rabbanon de bolu. If you ever see the clothing of a Talmud Chacham, which seems to be worn out, the reason is mechofi de tu. That's because the mazikim are rubbing against it, and that's causing, therefore, the fabric to fade and to wear out. Hanikroi de menakvan. When you go and see people that are banging their legs together, why they bang the legs together? Because minayu. Again, it's from them. It's from those mazikim. If you want to go and know whether there are mazikim present or not, in other words, okay, the Gemara tells us the mazikim, but I want to go and see them, or I want to know about them, there's an easy way to go and see whether you have a problem of mazikim. Laisi kitma nehila. Kitma means ash. Nehila means that it's very well ground. In other words, it's in a powder form. And take that powdered ash, then head to Apuria, put it on the floor around your bed, ubatafra, in the morning. Hazi, give a look on the floor. Hikari de tarnagoila, if you see on the floor feet like those of a tarnagol, like those of a rooster, then you know they're mazikim. And therefore, our Gemara is telling us now that the mazikim's feet look like those, or at least the footprint looks like that of a tarnagol, of a rooster. So therefore, if you want to make sure whether or not you have a problem mazikim in your home, the best way to do it is go and pour out this white ash on the floor, and then in the morning take a look. Hopefully you will not see any such footsteps, but if you do, then you know you got a problem.
White ash, you said?
White ash. Kitma is ash, and nihila means that it's well ground. So you have like a white powder of ash on the floor. If you're telling me ash is not white, whatever color your ash is, whether it's gray or black, go and grind it, put it on the floor, and then the next morning, see whether you can see the kar d'tanigra. Now what happens if you don't want to just go and see the footprints? You want to actually see this type of mazik. The Gemara will tell us in a few lines, not that we're recommending it, but a person for some reason, he wants to see the mazik. What he has to do is Laisi Shulyasa. Shulya we had many times back in Mesechtas Nida. That means the placenta or the amniotic sac. And you take that to Shunrisa. Shunrisa is of a cat. The kalba. And the Chadkaja, exactly. So we have over here the cat. You have the placenta of the cat. But now, not just any cat. Rabbi Newman, if you'd like to go and join us, we have over here. You go, not just any cat, it's got to be Uchmasa Bas Uchmasa. It's got to be a black cat, the daughter of a black cat. And those are some yuchases.
Purebred,
exactly. The mommy is black and it is black. And that's not enough. It's got to be Buchrasa Bas Buchrasa. It's got to be a Bechoyra, the daughter of a Bechoyra. Meaning that both the mommy was the firstborn and it is a firstborn. And what do you do now with the placenta of this black daughter of black, Bechoyra, Bas Bechoyra, cat? For Likle Benuri, you should go and burn it in a fire. For Lishchake, and then you grind up the ash or the remains of this burned up cat. For Limli Enemine, then take a little bit of it, not a lot, just take a little bit and put it into your eyes. Rashi says the reason why it says Limli is because since eyes are relatively small, to go and fill up your eyes, you only have to put in a drop. As if you were putting in an eye ointment, but here you're putting in this ash. And what do? And now v'chozilahu, and now you can actually see them with your own eyes. You can see the mazik. What do you do with the remaining portion of this mixture that you just made, this burned black cat? Black, but black. Bukhasa Basra, there was this placenta, yes. Not the cat itself, thank you, the placenta. What do? You take the remaining ash, the shtaya, the gubsa, the parzala, go and put it into an iron pipe, velech the mei, and now go and seal the pipe, the gushpanka. The parzla with an iron seal, and the reason why you should do this is because Dilma Gamvi Minei. After all, the mazikim don't want you to see them, they want to remain invisible. And therefore, if they see that you're seeing them, they're going to go and take this burned placenta and they're going to steal it. Therefore, if you go and put it into this type of locked, sealed iron pipe, then they don't have any shlita on it, because the Gemara says in other places they don't have any shlita on things which are chosim umonui. So therefore, if you go and tie it up and seal it up, they won't be able to get to it. Falachtim pumei, and now go and close your own mouth. In other words, if you see these mazikim, make sure to close your mouth. They shouldn't cause a hezik to you. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Barabaya, Ovad Hachi, he in fact wanted to see the mazikin, and apparently he went and filled his eyes with the burned placenta of the black, blas black, Bukhrasa, bas Bukhrasa, etc. And guess what happened? The Itzik, and unfortunately, they were mazikim, and they were saying, Rabibi, get out of here, and they were quite upset at him. Anyway, it doesn't say exactly what the nature of the hezik was, but it was some sort of damage. When the Chacham heard what happened, they all got together, and they beit rachmonis, and they said, tell him, the Itzik, and Baruch Hashem, he had a refor.
Okay. The Mark teaches that it is dangerous to disturb or provoke mazikim. The above procedure is therefore inadvisable.
We absolutely agree. I think it's unanimous. Please do not start up with mazikim, because we see from our Gemara it can be life-threatening and dangerous. So don't start up. Gesundheit. So that's the purpose of this Aviva Barabai, to tell you, yes, you can physically see them if you go through this procedure, but it's not advisable.
I also see them with a microscope.
Sorry?
I also see them with a microscope.
You can see them with a microscope? The Mazikin?
It's talking about, well, the germs are all around, billions of them.
I don't think our Gemara is referring to the germs, but if you think that's the pshat, you know, no problem.
The
bacteria, that's how you learned it? Okay. I never heard that, but it doesn't make a difference.
It's a force of damage that you can't see, that you know is there.
That's true. There are a lot of other damages. Okay, everybody, say, let me get right. Since this member that we just learned was Tanya Abba Ben Yamin, the reason why we have Abba Ben Yamin is because of the discussion of the Mazikin that we had yesterday with the Krishma Alamita. So now we bring another unrelated member of Abba Ben Yamin, Tanya Abba Ben Yamin Oymer. Ain't for the Shu'odim Nishmas, Elu Beis HaKnesses. The best place for a person to daven is to daven in shul. Shenema lishmoy al arina ve'al ha'tfila, but makam arina shom tehei tfila. When the Gemara says but makam arina, the Gemara is, at least the understanding of the Gemara is, that in the shuls, the ikar of the shuls were made were to go and sing shirois v'sishbochois to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, apparently the shuls, the Derech Klal, had a nice choir or a nice chazan, and he davened very, very nicely, shirois v'sishbochois. If you locate such a shul where they are being mahalal, they're being mishabeach, they are praising Hashem in such a beautiful fashion, that's the place that you should also go and daven and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your bakashas.
Hashem defines that's where the shul should be.
Exactly. I thank you for pointing that out. Look at the Rashi right next to our Gemara, the Mokka Marina, the Beis HaKnesses. Shisham Oimrim Hatzibor Shirois V'Sishbachois B'Ne'imas Koil Orev. People sing together nicely. It's a beautiful choir, and it's really geshmak, and it's really beautiful. So that's the place where you should go and say your tefillos. Tefillos in this case means your bakoshos. In other words, since it's a mokum where anyway there is this beautiful musical accompaniment of saying tilim and tefillos and hallel and etc. to Rabbi Shalom, this is a convenient place also to go and say your tefillah. Now, when it says in the Gemara, "Ain tefillah shul adam nishmas," basically, it doesn't mean that if you don't have a shul available, don't daven. It just means that that is the best possible place for davening. In fact, it says in the poskim, even if you don't have a minyan available, it's preferable to daven in a shul rather than davening at home, because that's a mokum rin, it's a mokum tefillah. If you can't, you can't. Yes, what's up there?
So there's a chiluk between and shiros v'tishbachos. I thought tfilos had both components.
Yeah, but then the problem is then this becomes, if you will, a vicious circle. You should only daven a place with his rina. And by the way, you know, with his rina, with his tefillah. So make sure that they're davening there. And if they're davening there, you should daven there. But if they're not davening there, then please don't daven there. So I mean, if the definition of a basic kness is a place to daven, make sure you daven a place where they daven. And if they don't daven, then it's not a shul, then you're not davening there. So what Rashi, I think, is trying to tell you is, first, the name shul is applied to a place where it's a mokum of shiris v'tishbachos, where they are mahal, they thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for all of his chasadim. Once you're doing that, then throw in some bakoshes as well. That's why in our Shemun Esrei, the beginning of Shemun Esrei is Divrei Shevach. We thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we tell the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're mechal kachayim bechesed, these are not bakoshes. These are all divrei shevach. We're thanking and we're praising Hashem. Once we're doing that, then Rabbeinu Shalom, you're listening to me because of my shiur v'tishbachos. Please, now I have a couple bakoshes. And my bakosh is, number one, give me a bissel cycle. Number two, let me do a bissel chiva. Number three, give me a kapar of my avoinus. Number four, go and see all of our tzoris in this world in our golas. Number five, please go and bring a refuah, etc., etc. So you start off with a divrei shevach, and then you continue on with your bakoshes, and that's the same concept here by the shul. Zogti more about Omer Rabin Barav Ada Omer Reb Yitzchak. Since we spoke about the Beis HaKnesses, now we continue talking about the Beis HaKnesses. Voshte legavi Beis HaKnesses. Minayin shekadosh baruch hu matzeh Beis HaKnesses. How do I know that the Shechina is Shoyre? Just like the Shechina is Shoyre in the Beis HaMikdash, so our Batei Knesias are a Beis Mikdash Ma'at, so there's also a degree of Shechina in our shuls. Shenema elekim nitzav vadas kel. Now, what does this have to do with a shul? So Rashi says, because the Adas Kel means Moyed Kel, a base Moyed Shalai. Base Moyed Shalai would be the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts his guests. That's as if it's his study or his special room where people come in. That's his Mokim, his residence. So that's the Kavanah over here, the Adas Kel. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu resides in the base of Knesset. How do I know if there are 10 people that are davening together, there's a shechina with them? What's the raya of 10 people? Says Rashi, because we have the word Eida elsewhere in the Torah. There, unfortunately, it's a bad connotation. We're talking about the 12 Meraglim. Among the 12 Meraglim, there were two good ones, and that, of course, was Kolev and Yeshua. So therefore, we're stuck with 10 bad guys. And the Pasuk says, so we see Eida has a connotation of 10, and therefore, when you have 10 together, Shechina in one. And the Pasuk of here says, Badaskel. I'm sorry?
You also, there were 10, but you also had 2 that were
12.
Who were good.
12, right. 12 and 2 that were good.
12 minus 2 comes out. How much is 12 minus 2?
Approximately 10. 10.
10. Approximately 10.
It teaches you a lesson. That was. No matter the situation, you could be the 2, even if there are.
Beautiful, beautiful Masaska. Thank you very much. Anyway, so since it says in the Pasuk of Kim, Nitza Badaskel, Eida, Adas, Eida is 10 people. What happens if you have a bezin and the 3 are sitting together to be danadin? Here the word elikim is being used for 2 purposes. The word elikim, as we know, is also a euphemistic term that refers to shoftim, people that are the dayanim in a bezin. You have in when it comes to a Tainus in Parshas Mishpatim, it says if you have a taina between, for instance, someone who left a pikadon and someone who's trying to retrieve his pikadon, or if you have a sichsuch between 2 people, partners in business, so the pasuk says adu alehim yovei dvar shneiam ashiyajbiun alehim yishalim shnoyim. So that word alehim over there is not referring to the boy mishlam, it's referring to dayan. So here too, b'kerav elikim yishpoit, that dayanim are being shofet together in the dayanim, and then b'kerav elikim, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes in their midst during that din Torah. So therefore, you have the shloish yoshim din. Somebody told me that once. I remember hearing this 30 years ago, or whatever, that Rav Breuer, Zechayim Levracha, and Rav Schwab, Zechayim Levracha, and the Novominsker had empaneled the Bezdin for some special purpose, and the person says he attended it, and he says you could really feel the Kedusha there, but Kerav HaLekim Yishpoit, you felt the Shechina, because these were 3 very, very illustrious individuals. 2 Zolim HaEmes, and 1 Zolim Gizem Mishtak. Anyway, continuing on, the Gemara, Minayin L'Shnayim Sheyoshim Va'oiskim B'Torah Sheshchina Imoem, and how do you know that 2, not 10, not 3, but even 2, who learning b'chavrusa together? Sheshchin imam. Shenema oz nidbru yiri Hashem ish el reyeyu. V'yakshiv Hashem v'yishma. Now the word v'yakshiv normally means to listen. Rashi says v'yakshiv Hashem in this connection means mamten. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu hears 2 people learning together. Chumash Rashi, Mishnayis, Gemara, the Daf, whatever. V'yakshiv Hashem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to stay around. I want to hear what's going on. Now the pasuk continues on at the end. If we look at these beautiful Gemaras donated anonymously, Ois Dalid, it says Oz Nidro Yiri Hashem Ish El Reyeu Ois Dalid. I say anonymously because the person that sponsored them doesn't like that we should be Mefarsim his name, especially on the tape. Exactly. So that's why he said anonymously. Exactly. Oz Nidro Yiri Hashem Ish El Reyeu V'Yakv Hashem V'Yishma. That's the pasuk that we're quoting, and the pasuk continues on V'Yikosev Zefer Zikaron Lefanav. Upstairs in Shemayim, there's a special Sefer Zikaron in which it's inscribed that on Thursday morning, Yankel and Bera learned together Chumash Rashi, or Mishnah, or Gemara, etc. L'yirei Hashem u'lechoshvei Shemoi. Now what is that choshvei Shemoi? Zofti Gemara. Ma'i l'choshvei Shemoi, Omer Rashi, Chishev Odom Lasis Mitzvah. V'nenas l'yasa, ma'lev kosev ki'ilu asa. What happens if a person very much intended to go and do a Dvar Mitzvah, and then unfortunately there was some sort of oinus that he could not participate, the Kodesh Baruch Hu still gives him schar on the Gutta Machshava, even without the Maisa. What happens if a person doesn't have a chavrusa? He's all on his own. He's learning by himself. The shechina was with him too. So now the obvious question is,
if you start with one, why do you need all the other sukkahs?
Who do you think asked that question?
I'm sure the Gemara is
going to. Exactly, that's what the Gemara asks. Once we've established that even one, then if it's Shteitzach two, and if it's two, if it's Shteitzach three, and if it's three, it's Azekha 10. So why do we have to go through this? Once you're telling me that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is, if when one person is learning, it's Trei Miboyesach v'Shteitzach two. Ev the Gemara Trei Michtavon Milayu B'Sefer HaZichroinois, when two are learning together, Kodesh Baruch Hu writes a special Sefer, and he inscribes in it that these two Yidin learn together on Thursday morning. Chad, if he's by himself, Le Michtavon Milayu B'Sefer HaZichroinois. But there's an obvious question. Don't we say in the Pirkei Avos, V'chol Ma'asecha, B'Sefer Nichtovim, so everything is recorded, not only on this machine though, but everything is written down. I'm sorry?
Even a single person.
Even a single person. So what's going on over here?
This whole thing recorded in Pirkei Avos and this whole section of Gemara.
Well, I know the whole Gemara.
Similar.
But you heard, you know that it says, V'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtov. Okay, and that's referring to even one individual. V'chol Ma'asecha, not Ma'asechem. And our Gemara says it too. So what's going on? Anyway, this is not my kasha. This is the kasha of the third Toises from the top. Chad le'michtavon mili b'sefer zechrenes. Kloimar. Im achirim, he is not inscribed together in a public sefer zechrinus. Aba sefer levadoi nichtoven kinamrinon v'chol masecha b'sefer nichtoven. Koshki midatayk. So what is Toisus telling us? That there are two groups of svarim. There's the private individual svarim, and then the public communal svarim. So therefore, every individual, whatever mitzvah he does in chas v'shalom, if once in a while he does chulil chas, something which is nishka mitzvah, that's all written down in his own private sefer. But if a person is learning together with somebody else, that becomes now a matter of public record that you can go and check it out. La'achar mei v'esem, you look up at the stairs in Shemayim. Thursday morning, Yankel and Vera learn together. Ah, you'll have so much pride, you'll feel so good. I am inscribed in that Sefer HaZichronos.
Yes. It's not much.
It's a very, very beautiful pshat, very nice. But bear in mind that this is all based on the pasuk, because it says in that pasuk, "Oz nidgro yiri Hashem ishariye v'yakru Hashem v'yishma v'yikosu b'sefer sefer zikaron lefan." There it says in a lashon yochid. Here in the Gemara it says lashon ram. So your diak is a beautiful diak, Reb Simcha, but the choyiv is based on the pasuk that you don't have a raya from the pasuk, but you have a raya from the toys. So he says very clearly the difference between a public and a private. So if you want, yes, brother Shai, yes.
For those,
I'm sorry, Nachum.
You could be expunged because it is Yabin Kishele. Even if it's written down.
You're talking about the Averis.
The Averis.
But we're only referring to the mitzvahs now. We're talking about all of the Yidin, Kulam Ahum, Kulam Barun, Kulam Gebarim, Kulam Kedoshim. All the mitzvahs are inscribed. Now that we've said that Shekhinah is with two, plus any boy than a father in three, the Jewish Mao, the same Adina, Shalom be Alma Hovele Yasser, Shekhinah, Kamash Malon. I would think that the Indian of a Bezdin is, they're not Oisik Batayra, they're just trying to work out the differences between two litigants. They're trying to make Shalom if possible. So therefore, maybe that's not called Limud HaTayra, being Oisik and Tayra, Kamash Malon, no, the Dina Nami Ainu Tayra. Since they're basing, hopefully, their Din Tayra based on what it says in the Tayra, so that's also good in the Tayra. So you have the Shechina. But can we have the filu tulasa asura mi boya? If you're telling me three, then of course ten. Every more asura kod meshchina viasya tulasa adiyasvi. The Gemara tells us that if they're going to be 10 people coming together in shul, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there before everybody arrives. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina will be there already before. However, when it comes to three, the three first have to get together to learn Torah or to do the Bezdin, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu will come subsequently. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
How does the Shechina know 10 are going to show up?
That's a very good point. Mitchum, wait please with your comment to the Amid Beis, because Gemara is going to focus on that, the Amid Beis. But thank you for preparing the segue to that Gemara. We'll get to this show. How do we know Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocha puts on tefillin? This is very difficult to understand on a simple level, because according to all the Svarim, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have a physical form. So where does he put the tefillin? Veselnish. Abazosh Tein, the Gemara, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where tefillin, she never says the Pasuk, Nishba Hashem Biminoi ubizroya uzay. Kadosh Baruch Hu swears with his right hand and with his left hand. That the left hand says Izroya uzay. So biminoi is referring to Zutayra. Kadosh Baruch Hu swearing by the Torah. Miminoi eish das lamai. Eish das is a reference to the Torah. The oisis das lamai dalet tof lamin mevam shtein svarim. Those are the oisis of the word Talmud. If you take the dalet and put it at the end of lamai, the five letters in a row are Talmud Tav Lamed Mem Vav Dalet, which of course is referring to Torah Shabbat.
Eish
Dos Lamay. So take the word Dos Lamay and take the Dalet from Dos and put it at the end of Lamay. So now you start off the word with a Tav, then Lamed Mem Vav, and the Dalet that comes out Talmud. You know, masking, you take the Dalet, put it to the end.
Okay,
I'm not suggesting everybody should take out your pens now and you should do that. I'm just saying, but if you were to do that, you would see it says the word Talmud, and therefore Mimoine Eish, that's the Talmud that means the Torah Shabbat. Uvizroya Uzoi Elu Tfilin, because we put on the Tfilin, most people, at least on, well, everybody puts on a Zroya, and most people put it on their left hand. That's Yemino is the Torah, and the left hand is the Tfilin. Shinema. Now, how do we know that we're referring to Tefillin? So, how do I know that Oiz is Taka referring to Tefillin? Oiz say, Lisra, Dixon said the Pasik, all the Ami Aretz are going to see that you are wearing, they'll see the Shem Hashem on you, the Yoru Mimekka, and they will have a certain degree of awe feel. V'tanya, Rebleza, God, Oimer, Eilu Tefillin Shemarash. When it says that all the Ami Aretz are going to see you, the Yoru Mimekka, it's referring to that they see the Tefillin on the head. Now, even though we're not talking about the Tefillin Shebaroish, here we're talking about the Tefillin Shebizroya. But the point is that the sight of Tefillin gives a certain degree of gevura, of strength to Klal Yisrael, and that's why it's called Ois. And since it says Ois, Zroya Uzo is referring, therefore, to Tefillin. The obvious question that people ask throughout the generations, that unfortunately we have seen that there are goyim that never go and have killed Jews even wearing their Tefillin, so you see that they're not Yoru Mimekka. So there's, I think, a touch from the Baal Shem, or maybe from the Kedushas Levi, from the Bedichiva, that it doesn't say Elu Tefillin She'al Roish, means Tefillin, it says Tefillin She'baroish. What does that mean? That means that it's not that the person just physically has Tefillin on top of his head, but it means that all of the essence that it says in the Tefillin, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and everything that's said in the four parishes, is in that person's head on a constant basis, and he's constantly thinking about Shem Shemayim, constantly thinking about Yichud Hashem, etc. When a person is on that high, elevated level, oh, then an Amoritz will have great respect for him, and he will think very, very highly of him. Anyway, now that you've established it, because Boch, where's Tefillin? What does it say in his Tefillin? He told me, because Boch says about Klal Yisrael, oh, they're my special, unique nation. Is the Kadosh Baruch Hu mishabeach himself? Does he go and praise with the praises of Klal Yisrael? Yo. Dichsin said in the pasuk, "Yes, Hashem hamarti yom veHashem hamircha yom." The words "hamarti" and "hamircha" are a little bit detached, are a little bit obscure. Rashi and Chumash says that you don't find these words elsewhere in the Torah. But it doesn't here, it doesn't mean Amira, it doesn't mean Hashem is speaking, or speaking to me, or I'm speaking to him. It has nothing to do with speaking. Here Rashi Weber says Hemarta, and Hemircha comes from the Lashon Chashivus V'Shevach, that the Kodesh Baruch is Machshiv. In other words, he considers it to be a Dover Choshev, important. He gives relevance and importance to Klal Yisrael, and Shevach, and praise. Ah, so that's the Hashem Emircha, Hashem Emarta. You made me very, very unique and special in this world, as we'll see how. Therefore, I'm going to make you special and unique. Klal Yisrael, as we know, is the first monotheistic religion, that we believe that there's only one God that is in charge of everything. But I'm going to make you unique, singular throughout the world. So just like an art film, we write Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinech Echad, Hashem is special and he's only one, single. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael is singular in nature as well. So that's what it says in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Tefillin. So you see the Kodesh Baruch Hu Mishabeach with us, and we're Mishabeach with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which reminds us of another Dvar Torah. I think this is also from the Hedi Yevedichava, that he says that you notice that we call the Yom Tov Pesach Pesach. However, in the Torah, it's never called Pesach. It's always referred to as the Chag HaMatzos. Pesach, whenever it's used in the Torah, is referring to the Korban Pesach. However, it never refers to the Yom Tov as being Pesach. So the question is why? Why do we call it Pesach? Why does Kodesh Baruch Hu call it Chag HaMatzis? So the Bedichava, because each one of us, Kaviyochel Rabbi Yishalom, and Lahabdul Yin, we all look at the Yom Tov and we're Mishabeach the other one. Meaning, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mishabeach us and says, I remember the I took you out of Mitzrayim and you had to run for your lives. You didn't have a chance to go and get your tickets and to go and make sandwiches and all the rest. You followed blindly with blind faith after me in the Midbar. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu remembers the Havas Klu Leisoyach, that wonderful Ahava that we had when we were first betrothed, when we first got together. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu refers to the Chag HaMatzos, matzah, to reflect the fact and to emphasize the fact that we didn't have the bread that normally people would eat, but we had to go and run out Terem Yachmatz before it became Chomet. That's the Chag HaMatzos. On the other hand, we thank Kodesh Baruch Hu, Asher Posach Hashem ala Pesach v'lein yiten amashkes lingoy lovei obeteichem lingoyf. As Kodesh Baruch Hu was killing out the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of the Bechoyrim in Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't allow the mashkes to go and touch us. So we are thankful that Posach Hashem ala Pesach, Hashem skipped over the Yiddish Haizah. So therefore we're Mishabeach Hashem and saying this is the Zman HaGeula, when Hashem Yisparach went and skipped over the Mashah, skipped over one house to the other and saved us. And on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks of us the Chag HaMatzis, when we all ran out with blind faith, with just the Tzeruas HaShichmum, we had the remaining food item, dough, which didn't even have a chance to rise yet. Anyway, continue on the one with Rav Acha Berei the Rav of Ashi. Tenech b'chad besa b'shar bati mai. As we know, our tefillin shoroish have four batim. That's why you see those incisions between in the top the tefillin shoroish. Those are four separate compartments inside, and each compartment has it one klaf on which is written one of the four parshis. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu presumably also has similar tefillin. So we know one of the four parshis is a Mika Amchi Sogo Yechad Ba'aretz. But what does it say in the other batim, on the other parshis? My Omalei. It says Kimi Goy Gadol, Umi Goy Gadol. This is one pasuk together. If you look at Ois Mem, you'll see Kimi Goy Gadol Ashaloi V'Kim Krev Meilu Kashem V'Kim Chol Krev Umi Goy Gadol Ashaloi Chukim Mishpatim. So that those are two psukim back to back, one pasuk after the other in Parshas Devarim. The pasuk that we quoted before, Umi Kam Kisol Goy Echad Ba'aretz, that's not even in the Chumash. That's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom. If you go back to Ois Yud, Umika Amchi Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So that's the Riyam. So we have one parasha is the Divrei Yomim, Umika Amchi Yisrael. Then you have another, Kimi Goy Gadol, Umi Goy Gadol, two psukim one after the other. And then we have Ashrech Yisrael, Mika Moicha, Am Noishim Bashem. And then you have another pasuk, Oyanisa Likim, Lova Lekachas Legoy, Mikerev Goy. And then you have Usimcha Elyon, Al Kol Ami Aretz, Al Kol Agoy, Masher Osa, etc. So now, if we add all of these up, and you don't need a calculator, we have already the Mika Amcha Yisrael is one. Ki Mi Goy Gadol U Mi Goy Gadol. Perhaps let's merge those together. It's two psukim together. Let's call that two. Ashrech Yisrael is three. Ainis Alekim is four. Lasivcha Elyon is five. Vaytimori Hachin Efishalu Tumi Bati. He got too many parshis. Where am I going to squeeze all of these parshis? He only got four, and I got five parshis. Ela Ki Mi Goy Gadol U Mi Goy Gadol. Since those are both the same connotation and the same two psukim, that's one. Ashrech Yisrael umika amcha Yisrael. Even though these are in two separate places, Ashrech Yisrael is a pasuk in Devarim, and mika amcha Yisrael is divrei Yamim, but it's also the same concept. Chad Beis. Oh, you need to look in Chad Beis. The Simcha Eli Chad Beis. Baruch Hashem, we filled up the four compartments in the tefillin shel Roish. The kulo kesivi be adrei. Adrei is from a Lashon Zroya. Zroya meaning on the tefillin shel Zroya, tefillin shel Yad. That you have the same four parshas in that one as well. Then why does the Gemara just go and say and the same in that one as well? Because as you'll notice when you look at your tefillin, the tefillin shel Yad doesn't have those incisions. Four compartments, exactly. If you were to open it up, you see it's just one open box inside. So what did they do? They took all the four parashas that you have separately in the Tefillin Shel Roish, they're all written on one long parchment that you insert in the Tefillin Shel Yad. Mm-hmm. As you see the Rashi on the right-hand margin, there's no Tosfos on our Amid, so you see the Rashi on the right-hand margin. The Kuluksiba Adrei Kolaksu Malolu, all those Tukim that we quoted on the Amid Aleph, Ksuv Mizroya, but Bayis Echad, in one Bayis. Sho'isin Shel Yad, Einan Ela Bayis Echad, Kimrin B'Menachis, Tishbuch. The parshas Ksuvas Boy, all the parshas are written together on that one cloth. Zog the Gemara Vaita. So we had now Ravin Barav Ada Omer Yitzchok. We had him already here on the Omer Aleph. So now we're continuing on the same Monday. Amar. No, remember what Zog said. Call Harogel over the Beis Knesset. If a person normally comes to davening every day, and one day he doesn't show up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashal Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks about him. Notice it doesn't say Shoyol Boy, it says Mashal Boy. So the Mefarshim HaMedayik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes people to ask. Because the word Mashal is really a causative verb. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, but he causes it. I'm sorry?
Like Mavaka.
Like Mavaka?
She listens.
Yeah. Okay. So here, Marshall means that Kadosh Baruch Hu causes people to go and ask because people, hey, how come Mr. Smith? You know, who's Mr. Smith? You know, the one that down there in the corner. Oh, yeah, of course I know Mr. Smith. Oh, where is he today? Oh, why are you asking me? You know, he's here every single. Oh, you're right. He's here every day. He's not here today. What happened? Well, why not? So Kadosh Baruch Hu is Marshall. He causes people to wonder and ask, where is Smith that day? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Mibachem Yirei Hashem, a person who's Yirei Hashem that comes every day to Davenin. Shemeh B'kolav, that he goes and listens to the Kol. Esheholach Chasheichem, that day he's walking in the Choshech. In other words, he's not here in Shul. He's walking somewhere outside in the darkness. The Ein Noiga Loi, and he doesn't have the benefit of the light. The word Noiga comes from the word light. What does this pasuk mean in its entirety? Says the Gemara. If he missed coming to davening because in the Dvar Mitzvah halach, he had to go somewhere else for a Dvar Mitzvah, the Noiga light, then he'll have the benefit of the Noiga, he will have light in his, which will shine in his midst, in his activities. The Dvar Rishus halach, but if he didn't come to davening because of some business matter which is not a Dvar Mitzvah, any Noiga light, then he will lose out on any special light. If the Pasuk ends off, that he should have bitachon in Hashem, meaning that if the person says, I can't go to davening because I have to do X, Y, and Z, which is a Dvar HaRishus, he should have had bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he'll have time later on. He didn't have to go and miss davening for that purpose. It would have worked out. Just give a chance, etc., etc. Okay.
You better not leave early today.
Now this is a question that you asked already in the Amud Aleph, and I told you if you'd be patient we're going to get to it, and this is the segue we had in the Amud Aleph of Kadosh Baruch Hu. When there are 10 people, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes before them, and you asked what happens if the 10 don't show up. If Taka the Taka no 10, the other crazy Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset, Shenema, angry, Shenema Madua Basi Vein Ish Kadosh Vein Oina Madua Kadosh Baruch Hu Basi, I came to shul, but unfortunately the people are not there. Karas vein oina. Vein oina, says Rashi, that as a result, if we don't have a minion, then you cannot go and say Shir Shiyuchlu Lanis Davar Kedusha. They can't say Kaddish, they can't say Kedusha. They can all daven, you know, be Yechidus together, 9 people together. But you can't go and say all the Dvarim Shevi Kedusha. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Ein Oina, there's nobody to answer Kaddish or Kedusha. Yes, what do you want, Rabbi Yehuda? Yes.
So, it's Mashmah that it says that Hashem is waiting for, he knows 10 are coming, he's waiting for them in the Beit Knesset.
Right.
But the others, if there's 2 are sitting and learning or whatever, then the Shekhinah comes. But by the 10, the Shekhinah is already there.
Right. A good book, when a minion is, there's a schedule on a minion, it's online, it says we're going to daven 7 minutes to 7. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows up already 6:45, maybe a little bit earlier to go to mikveh. Kadosh Baruch Hu's there, and he's waiting for the 10 people to show up. And when they don't show up, he gets koyis, he gets unfortunately very upset.
From the Sar Rishonim.
Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is even before the Sar Rishonim, he's even koydim the Rishonim.
So he is anticipating that they come.
Right.
But he doesn't know for certain that they come because ultimately they have, each one has a Bechira Atzma.
That's exactly right. Avada Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen. Everything happens in this world because of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But as you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody the Bechira. See, but the 10 are supposed to show and one decides not to show because of something else. It's his Bechira, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset that we don't have a minion. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Amr Chalva, Amr Avuna, Kala Kaveh Mokom Tilos, Elki Avram Be'ezra. It's a very curious Indian to have a Kvias Mokom, because we follow in the footsteps of Avram Avinu, who had a Kvias Mokom, a Mokom Kvua. Ukshmeis, Umm Loy, when that person passes away, if he had a Kvias Mokom, we say about him, a onav, a chosim, a tamidav shel Avram Avinu, he's following, or he followed in the footsteps of Avram Avinu. Freitim of Avram Avinu, menolim to cover mokam. How do we know Avram Avinu had a special place where he davened? Chesed to the vos, v'yashkim Avram ba'boiker, el amokoyim asher omad sham. Avram Avinu got up in the morning and he stood in the place where he stood. And what do you mean he stood in the place where he stood? Of course you go and stand in the place where he stood. Oh, vein mid el etzvila. The word amid is referring to the shenem of a yamay pinchas vayefalav. word Vayifal is from Lashon Tefillah. So Pinchas was being mispalled Vayaman, and he stood. That's therefore the Asher Omma, therefore also is an allusion, a reference to a Mokim Tefillah. Therefore it says Avram Baboyker, he got up and he went to that place, Asher Omma, that he had previously stood. Why did he previously stand in that place? Because Vayifal, because he was davening. So therefore he was careful to go back to the same place that he had previously davened. So therefore a person should have a Mokim Kavua where they daven on a regular basis. Right. But it doesn't say that if a guest comes in, you have to go there, ah, find Mokim Kavua, get out of here. That doesn't say that. It says that you should go be back with that Mokim Kavua, but not when a Chas V'Shalom gets into the tourist. Sorry?
It's all Pirush.
It's something which is so common sense one shouldn't have to go and repeat it, but unfortunately not everybody uses that common sense at all times. Anyway, since we had Reb Chelvei Amar Avuna, we have another member of Reb Chelvei Amar Avuna. When a person leaves shul, he shouldn't make big strides. In other words, he should go slightly out of the Beis Medrash and not run out of the Beis Medrash. Amar Abayli Amon El Lameifik. That's only when you're leaving the Beis Medrash. Avol Meil, to go in the Beis Medrash, mitzvah lemira, then it's a mitzvah. The Gemara on the surface is a bissel lishmer, because Reb Chelvei Amar Avuna is trying to teach us a lesson. When you're leaving shul, you don't run out of shul. You go slightly from shul. So Bai said, oh, I mean, he's only talking about going out. I'm going in the midst of it. Didn't I understand that on my own, that Rav Huna is only focusing on the
exit,
not on the entrance? Of course you should run to shul. Like any Dvar Mitzvah, you should run. So what is Abai telling us? So Marsha says a beautiful pshat. Marsha says, Lo Yamarin El Lameifik, it depends why you're leaving shul. If you're leaving shul to go to the office, if you're going shul to go home, go slowly. However, if you're leaving shul because you're going from there to the Beis Medrash to have a shir, to go and learn, oh, then you're allowed to go and run from shul. Le'imorin el lemeifik, if the reason is because you're exiting. But if the reason why you're leaving shul is lemeil, because you want to enter into another Beis Medrash to do another Dvar Mitzvah, that's a separate story. Then you are allowed to. So lemeil doesn't mean going into that basic Knesset. It means that you're leaving back to the basic Knesset, but you're running to do another Dvar Mitzvah, such as going to this marriage. That's mitzvah. Then it's a mitzvah to go and run. Near the Voladasis Hashem is an Indian of Radifa, of running to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Zeira says, initially, when I saw the Talmid Chacham that they would go and run to the Perek on Shabbos, the Perek means like we had on the Amud Aleph, to go and listen to the drushes, to listen to the Shiurim on Shabbos from the Rabbanim, from the Rashi Yeshiva, etc. Amina, so I thought, Kamachalian Rabbanim Shabbat. I felt that they're being Machal Shabbos. Why did I feel that they were being Machal Shabbos? So Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, if you look on the right hand side, middle of the Rashi's, Machalian Rabbanim Shabbat, the Umar Mar, it says in Masechta Shabbos, Osir Lefsoya Psiya Gasa B'Shabbos. You're not supposed to go and run on Shabbos. Shenemar Intosha Mishabbos Raglecha. That means that on Shabbos you're supposed to conduct yourself differently than during the week. It's what we call Uvda Dechayil. During the week people are running, going, up, up, up. Shabbos is a day of rest. You're not supposed to go and run. So I see all of these Rabban, they're running to the shir. I feel they're Michal Shabbos. I want to make protests, a machor, put up placards, and what they're doing is wrong. Or there's an aleph on the side, I think it's a Vilna Goin, that says the Dvar Mitzvah. It's always important when you're doing a Dvar Mitzvah or Dvar Halacha, you're going to learn, you're going to do a Dvar Mitzvah, run to do the Mitzvah. Even on Shabbos, it's in the Pasuk, Achrei Hashem Yelechu Ka'ari Yishog. Oh, Achrei Hashem, go after Hashem and go like a roaring lion. Roaring lions usually don't walk, they usually run with speed. So no, Namri Hitna, I learned from that. No. The Indian of running to Dvar Mitzvah, to learn to Dvar Halacha, to hear a shir is so important that even in Shabbos, you're allowed to run to do such a Dvar Mitzvah. Reb Zeira, Agra de Pirka Ruata. So since we spoke about running to the shir, he says that there are people that go to the shir and really don't understand everything that's going on at the shir. So you're going to say, so why should I go to a shir if I don't know what's going on? You get schar for running to the shir. If you look at the Rashi on the right hand margin, Agra, the schar, right? The fum tzara agra. Agra means schar. The pirka of the perik shir that you're coming to learn the learning is ruyata, is the running to the shir. Meaning, a vadi is supposed to learn. But what happens if you have an amoritz that does not know how to learn? Just the fact that you go to the shir, that's already a dvar mitzvah. So look at the Rashi on the right hand side, agra the pirka. Iker kibul schar habriyos. harotzim lishmoya drosha mipi achacham. The ikar schar is his char hamarutza. Why is that the ikar schar? Shari rubam ainam mevinim lahamid girsa v'loyma shmu mipi rabban li achar zman shikablu schar limud. Many of them after the shir is after the shir is over, we ask them, what did Rabbi Smith say in the shir? I really can't repeat it. I can just tell you it was great. I saw the way you asked the kashan. It was music to my ears. But Zugefesavart, I can't. It was just so overwhelming. I can't. So why did you bother going? I went there because I wanted to kabbal the schar for running to shir. Let's look at the one second.
Don't stay. Once the shir, don't
shari ruban einam medim. Most of them don't understand Lahamad girsa to be able to go and repeat it for loyim bashmuah bipei rabban. But nevertheless, they get the schar liman of what of running to the shir. Yes, Reb Simcha Vuzvul Tizom.
That's how much it didn't understand. I was freezing also.
Oh, yeah, freezing off. I don't know what you're referring to. But the point is that even if...
It was very varamoidem,
Baruch Hashem. Anyway, you should put this on...
Stop.
Make the Agudah make a gun to send that email, so that even if you don't understand the Daf Yomi, it makes no difference. Go to the shir anyway, and run to the shir, you get schar, even if you don't understand, just for the running to the shir. But of course, if you understand it, much better. Okay, Omer Abai, Agra did Kala Doichka. Now this is the Kala we spoke about briefly on the Omer Aleph, and Rashi says it's a Shabbos Shilafnei HaRegel, Shakol Nesafim Lishmoya Hilchos HaRegel. Everybody wants to know all the halachas, what you got to do, what you cannot do, all the interesting things, and that's called the Shabbos of the Yarchi Kala. The Schar there is the Doichka, even if you don't understand everything that's going on, just that you go and compress yourself and you allow yourself to be pressured. Remember in the Omer Aleph, it could be Chas HaShalom because of the Mazikin, even if there's plenty of room and you feel that Dochka. But this Gemara seems to be slightly different only by the fact that the Rashi, the Omer Aleph, did not specifically refer to the Shabbos Lefnei HaRegel. He just talked about Pa'omim B'Shabbos, and here Rashi says specifically before the Regel, and that's because Taka before Regel, then everybody comes to the Shabbos of Guru Drusha or Shabbos Shuvah Drusha, then you usually have huge crowds that are crowding in. So even if you don't understand, you get the schar for the Dochka for just being uncomfortable. Omer Rava, Agra D'Shmaitza Svara. The ikaschar that you get when you go to a shir is if afterwards you are able to understand and go deeply into the svaras of the sugya. Rashi on the right side, Agra D'Shmaitza Svara, Shu Yogeya B'Toyrech Mechashiv L'Hom in Talmud Shel Dover. That he spends the time really to understand what's going on, not just to learn it superficially, but to try to delve into it to get Agutis Svara, Vos Meinti Gemara Chuzon. Amir Papa, Agra de Beitamia Shtikusa. Now the word Beitamia here has two interpretations. Beitamia literally means the house of bones. Now what means the house of bones? So that could mean, if you see on the side there's a gimel, and the gimel takes us to the Masoidus Hashas here on the upper left hand margin, and he goes and brings, well, he doesn't have it here, so then probably he goes down to the, down below maybe to the, anyway, what it's supposed to say is that there are two pshatim. Pshat number one is that we're talking about a Beis HaOvel, where unfortunately the Avelim are sitting, or it could be referred to where the Oroin is located. That second pshat, the Oroin is located, that would be similar to what we had a couple of blad ago, that if a person happens to be within the Dalet Amis of a Mez, he shouldn't go and say any Dvorim except Dvorov Shel Mez. We had two Lashonis, you remember, one Lashon said that you're not allowed to learn Torah because learning the Rosh, and the other second said, you know, you shouldn't even talk Shtusim, don't say anything next to a Mez, unless you're saying a eulogy, you're saying a Hesped on the Mez. And therefore, Agra Devitamia, if you're coming to Lavai and you're there next to the orange tikkusa, the best is Achish Shvag. Don't say anything. That's the main thing that you learn from this shtikl. But the other more broad shot is Agra Devitamia is talking to go to a Beis HaOvel. In the Beis HaOvel, you should not start the conversation, but you're going to wait until the Ovel starts speaking. And it's Tamil Gutazach, because if you've ever been to a Beis HaOvel, you'll know about how much people say Shtusim and they say ridiculous things. The less that you talk, the better. Just show your respects by coming and wishing the person Hamokim Menachem. Anyway, beginning back to Gemara, Omer Azutra, Agra Tatanis Tzikosa, the Iker Schar that you get for a Tanis, and not that you're fasting, but that you give tzedakah at the end of the Tanis. Who do you give tzedakah to? Says Rashi, you give it to the aniyim that are gathered there that fasted and now need to eat supper and cannot afford the money to buy supper. You give them the food or you give them the money to be able to afford buying supper. That's the Iker Schar. Omer of Sheshes, Agad has paid the Diluye. The Iker Schar of a person who's maspid is Diluye if he can go and use his hesped to cause people to have agmas nefesh and to cry about the person that passed away. If you look at the last Rashi on the right hand side, the luyeh lahorim koil b'loshen nehi ba'agmas nefesh sheyivku hashoymen. You go and say words of hesped that people are moved to tears, as opposed to certain levais that I've gone to from time to time, where unfortunately everybody chuckles because of jokes that they make about the nifter, and he says, "Oh, he did this," and they're like, hey, everybody's laughing. That's not the what you're supposed to do in hesbedim. Anyway, yeah, I know you've never been to such a hesped. No, you should. I'll be convinced you shouldn't have to go. Anyway, Omer Ravashi Agud Behi Luli Mili. The ikar scha when you go to a chasana, you go to a place where you have a chasan, is to go and say beautiful divrei Torah to mesameach a chasan bedvarim. Go and say to him nice things. He should be happy. Say that the kala is a kala nova chasuda, and go and say the retorah. He should feel happy at that simcha. Every davens in the back of the shul. Now there's a machloikis of beforeshim, whether we mean in the shul itself or do we mean outside the shul, in back of the shul. Both, everybody agrees it means the back of the shul. Does it mean the back of the shul but inside the shul, or the back of the shul outside the shul? It's a machloikis. Okay, but a person that does it nikra rasha, shenemar, like it said in the pasuk, soviv rishoyim yisalochem, that this is considered to be a rishus. Now, what's the reason why it's a rishus? Amr Abay Le'amon Adolim Mahadir Api Lebei Knishta. A Mahadir Api Lebei Knishta Les Lan Ba. He's taka sitting in the back row, and guess what? The entire davening, including Shaman Asra, when everybody's looking towards the ark, looking towards the Orim, towards the Mizrach, he stands backwards and he's going and being mispalled toward the western side of the shul instead of to the eastern side of the shul. Oh, that's what we call over here a rishus. That's the soviv rishon instead of going and turning his face the way he's supposed to. He has his face towards the back, the other way around, so that's like the soviv, that he's around, not 360 degrees, 180 degrees around, and that's considered to be chas v'shalom, a lashon of rishus. And the Gemara tells us, in fact, a story about this. So Bai says, even if he's standing in the back, and even theoretically if he's standing outside the shul, but when they're davening, he's davening in the same direction, then that's fine. What's the problem of davening in the other direction? Because it looks like Shtei Rishuyas. Shtei Rishuyas means that he says, I'm not worshipping the same God as everybody else. I'm worshipping another God in the other direction. In fact, it more tells us in Moira de Kamaisa, who gavra de Kamatli Acher Beknishta, there was a person davening taka in the back of the shul, or back outside the shul. He wouldn't go and turn his face towards the shul. Exactly, the other direction. Cholof Leor, Leor Novi came by, Chazia, and he saw him. In Malay Kitaya, he dressed up, he masqueraded as if he was an Arab merchant, and on Malay, and he told him, Kadu Bar. Well, this means kadu bar. So Rashi says kadu bar, kadu means shtei, and bar means rishus, which means like two rishuyas. Two rishuyas means as if there are two gods in the world, chas v'shalom. Kiyamta kami morach. What you have done is in front of your master. In other words, it's one thing if you'd stay at home and you'd go and daven to your own other god. But you come to shul and you daven in the other direction as if you're rejecting chas v'shalom and rabbi v'shalom, and you're making now a second god. Oh, because of that, Shul of Safsar, he took out a sword, the katle, and Eliyahu Novi went and killed the person. Yes, Rabbi Nulin.
So sometimes you see shuls are not there, the Aron is not facing Mizrach. Some people daven to the Aron, some people daven to the Mizrach. So you can have one person davening this way and one person davening that way.
Yeah, so in fact it says in Halacha that if the Aron is not in the Mizrach side, it should be Mitzadi Panav. In other words, you can go a little bit at a slant, but don't go 90 degrees or 180 degrees in the other direction.
Like it was
this. Exactly. Like it was this. What does it say in the pasuk? Krum zulus levnei adam. Now, why is the Gemara quoting this? Because it's the second half of a pasuk that we quoted before. I'm sorry? Exactly. So if we look at Ois Zayin in our Gemaras, you'll see on the right hand side, Sob Rishon Yisalochen, Krum Zulus Livnei Odom. Now what do these four words mean? Amalei. Eile Devom Sha'oim Merum Yishol Oilam Vnei Odom Mizalzlem Behem. The Krum is referring to Ki Roim. Roim means Dover Sha'oim Merum Yishol Oilam. What is that? Says Rashi. Tfilah Sha'oim Lamala. When we say our Tfilahs, it goes up to the heaven, so that's the roim. Zulus means people are mezalzel b'tfila. How are they mezalzel? They don't daven properly. They talk during places when you're not supposed to talk. They don't come to davening. They daven up without giving any kavana, etc. So that's the krum zulus from the yodim, that they're mezalzel in the room, in things which are in the room shalom. Rabbi Yechon Rablos Yam Javai. They have a different chat in the pasuk. If chas v'sholom a person nebuch has to go and solicit funds, the people nebuch have to go from shul to shul. Nebuch ponav mishtanois kikrum. Then their faces go and turn like all different colors, like the krum. Shenema, like I said in the pasuk, kikrum zulus l'bnei. So I said that they change colors like a krum. My krum v'sais a krum. Ki osav dimi omer oif echad yesh b'krach hayam. This is a special oif out there in the island. A krum shemoy, and the name of it is krum. V'kim shecham zirachas. When the sun comes out and starts shining, v'sapach v'kam v'gavonim, it has many different beautiful colors. Presumably something like the peacock or the pheasant, those types of birds that have many, many beautiful colors. In other words, he's saying about these people that are soliciting funds, Nebuch, their faces are constantly turning from the flesh color to white and green and yellow and orange, especially when people insult them, when they come to shul or don't treat them with respect. So you can imagine Nebuch, their face turns all different colors. Nebuch, these solicitors, Nebuch, as if they are going through two different dinam, esh umayim, they're going through fire and water. What does this have to do with us? Enosh means a person who is marked, he's like sitting on top of us, because he is the creditor going and putting pressure on the debtor. Nu, pay me, you haven't given me back my loan, you haven't paid me back yet. So Nebuch, for that person who's the debtor, bonu v'esh v'mayim, it's as if he's going through fire and water, Nebuch, because of his tzart. Rav Chaim Ravuna says, be careful about mincha. Mincha is very, very, very important. Why is mincha so important? Elion Novi, when he had the mass in Har Carmel, he was listened to, but Tfilas Mincha Shenema. Vehi Valois HaMincha, Vayigash Elion Novi Vayoymer, and it says, Aneini Hashem Aneini. Aneini Shetei Eish Men Hashemayim Aneini Shlo Yoymeru Maase Kishofim Heim. As you know, for those of you that are familiar with the old story, the Elio is there together with the Nevi HaBaal, and the Nevi HaBaal, they try to go and bring a carbon, and they went and they did their own Tiflis type of stuff, that was there in the Spal, and they danced around, and they screamed, and they shouted, and they and and the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't listen to all of their nonsense, and nothing happened. Then Eliyahu HaNavi brought his carbon, and within a split second, boom, the Kodesh Baruch Hu caused a special fire to come down, and they consumed the carbon. So we see that this happened at the time of Mincha, and Eliyahu HaNavi was afraid that the others are going to say, you know why this carbon was consumed so quickly? It's a masa kishuf. So that's why he said the double lashon of aneni hashem aneni. Aneni should tear the esh mishmaim. The esh should come down, which it did come down. But listen, the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Mishlo, you're masa kishuf. I don't want afterwards people to go around and say, oh, this is some sort of sorcery. They should realize that this was the koyach of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So mincha is very, very important. For ibeichon amar apetulis arvis. Marv is also important. Shenem it's in the basic tikkun tifilosi k'toris lefenechas masas kapay minchas orev. The mincha meaning the present that we bring at night when we say tefillas marav. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer after the shacharis. Also important. Shenem hashem boike tishma koyli boike er lechov va'atzach. Anyway, bottom line, we see from these three memories that all tefillas are important. None of them are to be taken lightly. Each one is an important time. You have a chance to speak to Kodesh Baruch and put out your bakashas. So since we mentioned Reb Chelboy Omer Rafuna, another member, Reb Chelboy Omer Rafuna, kol anena misudas chosin, eni misamchoy, person goes to a suda of a chosin and he's not misameach the chosin, oyim b'chamishe, koilis, he's oyver on five, koilis, shenema, kol sos, kol sim, kol chos, kol kala, kol oyimim, hoidu Hashem, es Hashem tzvokos. So therefore, it's very important to go and be misameach, and otherwise he's violating these five koil, kol sos, kol sim, kol chos, kol kala, kol oyimim, these five koilis. Vim misamchoy, ma, schori, what happens if he is misameach? Amrib Shem and Levi. So yichol the Torah, shenit Nachna b'chamisha koilas. Afterwards, he has a zchiyah in Torah. In other words, he'll be able to grasp the Torah better. He'll be able to understand the Torah better. Which in Nitna b'chamisha koilas, given five koilas, and then we'll give him a boiker. This is time talking about, of course, Har Sinai. What does it say? By koilas of rokim and uncovered on the heart. So we said two koilas, koilois b'loshen rabbim. V'koil shoifer is three. V'koil shoifer is four. V'kemiyana v'koil is five altogether. So five connected the other five. Thank you. Any boxing, but there's another passing. So add two more. There's seven koilas. If they want, I said koilas. The koilas matan Torah have. Those were earlier koilas. Rashi said when he say earlier koilas means that these koilas are referring back to the koilas which we've already enumerated. The passing is telling you that it was miraculous. Normally, you can not see a koil. You can only hear a koil. Here, v'chalom, the koilas that we just enumerated a moment ago, v'hi b'yom eshlish b'yoyis aboike, the koilas of rakim, those koilas were seeable, visible. V'chalom royim is a koilas oisim koilas to koilam antayim. So therefore, it's just a repeat and it's a cross-reference to the earlier koilas which we have already enumerated. And the pasuk continues on, v'bo omar ki'ilu hikrib toida. Now, why does the Gemara say ki'ilu hikrib toida? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, mivim toida beis Hashem. You notice that's ois lamed. If you go down to ois lamed, you'll see that that's the pasuk that we quoted a moment ago. That's the first of the wide lines down below. Kol sozve, kol simcha, kol chazve, kol kala, kol oimen hoidi es Hashem tzvokoiz, ki toiv Hashem, ki doyog mchastoi, mevim toiv de beis Hashem, and the pasuk finishes off, ki oshev eshuus ha'aretz, ki borishoyna omar Hashem. So you have this mevim toiv, and you have the oshev eshuus ha'aretz. So getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara tells us that if you mesameh chosve kala, you know what it's like. It's ki ilo hikrib toiv, shenem mevim toiv de beis Hashem, rebuilt one of the harvest, one of the ruins of Yishlaim Shenemar, ki Oshvet Shuas Ha'aretz, ki Rishayin HaMashem. That's the final, that's the ending of the pasuk. Now, notice at the beginning of this memory, we said, Kol Anehenem Yisudas Chosan, Beinem Besamchoy, Oyver B'chamisha Koyles. So I once saw in a sefer, I don't know how reliable this vart is, but he said that perhaps is the reason why today, in fact, that's not the minig today, but that was the minig in yesteryear, that who would go and pay for the chasanis? The kala side would pay for the chasanis. Today, most of the time, you split it up 50-50, or they go in to give the invitations, and this one pays for the music, and this one pays for that. Flop. And yeah, flop, exactly. But I don't want the chasan to be a flop, so that's they should just go and split it 50-50, everything should be fine. Anyway, for those of you not familiar with flop, it's a Rosh Tevis for that you pay for.
Flowers, liquor, orchestra, exactly. And photographer.
You see, everybody knows. Oh, Baruch Hashem.
Flowers, liquor, orchestra, photographer.
Orchestra, yeah. Anyway, so getting back to Gemara, that's the reason why the kala pays for the suda. So if a person's not misameach, he shouldn't be over in the chamisha koilas, because it's only kala nenem misudas chos and veinem misamcha. It's not a suda's chos, it's a suda's kala. If the kala's paying for it, then you don't have to worry about you not being misameach over chamisha koilas. Okay, anyway, continuing on. Since we had, yes, Rabbi Nuri.
So what's when it says misameach, what's pshat in this? Before it said,
make him happy.
Hilula said, it's words of praise. Mm-hmm. Before, it's like it's hard for that.
Yes, so the combination of the two. That you're misameach and by saying nice words, going out, the guy is smiling and he gives you a big kiss and a big hug. All of that together.
Put on a clown outfit or something.
Well, that wouldn't be the.
That's
the mili. That's the ikerschad. But presumably anything that brings simcha to him is also meritorious. It's play. I would not say you should eject all the clowns, but there are people that really make clowns of themselves, but not only with chasanis, even throughout the week, even wherever they go. Anyway, so another Reb Chelba Amar Rav Huna, Kolon Mishiyesh Bo Yir Shemaim. Another member from the same Reb Chelba Amar Rav Huna. A person has Yir Shemaim, Dvarav Nishmoim. People will listen to what he has to do because they see Yirei Shemaim, they see he's sincere, and he will have hashpa, people listen to Shemema. So if the word HaKol Nishma is Elkim Yirah, Kizeh Kol Adam. So HaKol Nishma, when do people listen? It's Elkim Yirah, if he has Yiras HaMokim Yirah Shemaim. My Kizeh Kol Adam, the Pasuk ends off Kizeh Kol Adam, Amrav Lozim, HaKadosh Baruch Kol Adam, Kulay, Le'nivru B'shul Zeh. You know why we created the world, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I created it because of the Yirei Shemaim, a person who really understands the Siddur Rabbi Yishlam, and has awe and respect and reverence for HaKadosh Baruch. And then we have two other interpretations which are similar but not exactly the same. Baba Bakana, Oma Shokul Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kulay. This individual that has Yirei Shemayim, he's equated with all the other people in the world. As if you put them both on two sides of the scale, this great Yirei Shemayim, he is in the same weight, so to speak, that everybody else. A rare time that you don't see Ben Azza in Ben Zayim, you see Reb Shimon Ben Azza, Ben Shimon Ben Zayim. That's a trivia question. Anybody asks you, what's the name of Ben Azza Ben Zayim? So you see from our Gemara, the names were Shimon. Anyway, why Taka most of the time you don't have the name Shimon? There's really machloikis among the Mepharshim. Some say because whenever you find Ben Azza Ben Zayma without the name Shimon, it's because they said it before they received smicha. They were still very, very young. Before they got smicha, so then we just gave cover to them in the name of their father. When they got smicha subsequently, then they got the name of Shimon. Others say it's because they weren't married. At least at the time that those members, they weren't married. Maybe subsequently they did get married. So it comes to Shaila whether Ben Zayma Ben Azza Nafshe Chashka Batoyra, whether he got married afterwards. Okay, anyway. So which day in the Gemara? All the rest of the world is like the Tzavsa. Tzavsa means like a companion, which means it's that the Iker world is this Yirei Shemayim. Everybody else is like kind of secondary. They're the supporting actors. The main person is this Yirei Shemayim, and everybody else is just kind of standing around
the
on
the furniture.
The furniture. Oh. Another member of Reb Chaim Amar Reb Huna, the last one for today. If you know that your chaver is the type of person who goes and is going to give you shalom, try to give him shalom first. Don't go wait to be the recipient of the shalom. You should be the first one to greet. Oh. What happens if a person greets you and you don't respond? Nikra Gazlon! Why are you a Gazlon? What is this all about? So Rashi explains. You're talking about stealing from an Oni. What about stealing from an usher? That's permissible. You're not going to steal from anybody. Says Rashi, we're talking about stealing somebody's giving you a shalom, meaning he greets you shalom aleichem, and you don't respond in kind. So that's the only thing that the oni has. He doesn't have any funds. The only thing that he can do is he can give you a greeting, and he's hoping that you will respond in kind. When you don't, you are stealing that from him. If you look at the last Rashi, gzeilas oni, but like af gzeilas osher gzeili, gzeila from anybody's gezel, el gzeilas oni shein leklum ligzel ehatakuni. She has no assets to steal. Elish leyahashiv al shloimai. He's waiting for you to respond in kind. He says good morning. Respond good morning. Those people that don't, those are not nice people. They're considered to be gazlan. Have a wonderful day. Bracha batzlacha zayin.